Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So here we are, 3 days before Christmas, and I'm excited about Christmas. I'm really looking forward to some time away. I know, you know, this season right now, some of us go away, have some time with family and friends, and have some holiday seasons, and it's very much needed, but it's a great time to spend with family and with friends and take some time off and just reflect and really look at the real meaning of Christmas, the real true meaning of Christmas. You know, we're coming right to the end of the year right now, and Christmas is only 3 days away. Ali and I are going to Perth. We've got some family over there, so I'm looking forward to spending a week over there with some family. And then we come back, and then we go to Tassie. I've got some family in Hobart, so that'll be good. I'm looking forward to seeing family and friends. And, you know, that's what Christmas is about. I mean, a lot of us get together with our family, with our friends, with our weird uncle, interesting aunt, weird family members. Sometimes it can be interesting, but it's really important that we take this time to stop, to reflect, to celebrate all that God has done, and obviously to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on, guys. Got to help me here. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. Let's read it together. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to get my glasses out so I can see. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star," remember that, "when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared." The star had appeared. "And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him.' And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star," remember that, "the star that they had seen, when it rose, it went before them. It led them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country by another way." Hey, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word that brings light, that brings illumination to our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word that feeds us, that nourishes us. Lord, we thank you for this season that we're in. Lord, I just pray for each and every person. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, do what only you can do, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you that you are already moving and you're already working in this place. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about encountering the Jesus of Christmas, encountering the Christ of Christmas. And I guess the title of my message is actually Following the Star. Following the Star. What a great passage of scripture we read here. These wise men. A lot of us think that there were three wise men, but actually the Bible doesn't say that there were three wise men. It just says wise men. So there could have been a whole group, possibly up to maybe 25 wise the Bible says that they were either astrologers or magicians or people that read the stars from the east, they came. So the whole company of people, there wasn't just three, but there would have been a whole caravan of people that had heard about this Messiah that was going to get born, and they were following the star. They were following the star. And so today I want to look at this scripture and see some truths that we can pull out for us in this season. You know, right now, the weeks before Christmas, it's traditionally called the season of Advent, the Advent season. It's the season of waiting. It's that season of expectation or the coming, or we're waiting for the arrival. We're waiting for that coming of Christ. You know, event on the Christian calendar is the period of preparation for the birth or the coming of Christ. It means preparation. And this whole season is about preparing. And we sort of do that. We like, okay, Christmas is coming. We got to prepare our gifts. We got to get everything all organized. We got to prepare our families, and we got to organize everybody coming together. And it's this season of preparation. But let me encourage you, let it be a season that in our hearts, we're preparing for preparation. We're preparing for Christ. We're preparing for the arrival of Christ, because he comes again and again and again in our lives. You know, when the early church started doing this, this season was actually a time of reflection. It was actually a time of reflection. How far have we removed that? It's become a season of busyness, of everyone just rushing around thinking, okay, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to go to the shops. I went to the shops yesterday. Man, it took us half an hour just to find parking at the shops. There is a lot of activity that's happening around Christmas. We've sort of lost that sense of reflection and waiting and coming, you know, expecting Jesus. We don't reflect, we rush around. We get busier, we get stressed out, we get frustrated. But we need to learn to wait for God. You know, in our high tech, high speed, high stress age, we're not very good at waiting, are we? As we wait for God, we slowly become more contemplative enough to discern, what is God doing? What is God doing? This is a great season for us to encounter the Christ of Christmas. A great season for us to slow down and say, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you saying to me in this season? You know, when God entered history definitively in Christ, a lot of people who should have perceived it and rejoiced, they missed what God was doing. They even resisted it. But then there was people like Simeon and Anna who perceived the arrival of God's salvation. These wise men as well who perceived it. They learned to follow the star and to wait. You know, God is always acting. Amen? God is always loving his creation. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always inviting us into this house of love. But when we're consumed by anger, harried by anxiety and driven by impatience, we're blind and deaf to what God is actually doing. We must first learn to wait. Wait. We must learn first to look for the star. God, what are you showing me? What are you doing right now in my life? What are you doing? What are you saying right now? You know, this season of preparing, not getting busier, but actually waiting for the great arrival. We're waiting for this great arrival. Jesus. You know, this Christmas, I don't know about you, but I want to encounter the Jesus of Christmas. I want to encounter the Christ of Christmas. I want to encounter Jesus himself. I don't want to get lost in all the busyness and all of the stress and all of the stuff going on with family and holidays. I want to encounter Jesus. And I really feel for us as a church and us as individuals, God is inviting us to slow down and to encounter Jesus this Christmas, to encounter him afresh, to see a fresh side of him and what he is doing. You know, when we read about the first Christmas, we sort of sanitize it. We sort of, you know, have this picture in our minds of this perfect Christmas, you know, and Mary and Joseph, and they're on a donkey, and they go to this inn, and there's no room, and they go to this stable, and we sort of picture it as like this perfect picture, but it was anything but clean. The first Christmas was a gruesome reality, a tragic reality, an oppressive ruler, Caesar Augustus. He passed a law that everyone had to go back to where they came from for the purpose of a new tax. He wanted to tax everybody again. Mary had to leave the comforts of where she lived, the community, the family she'd known. She was pregnant. She was not married. She was traveling, you know, probably maybe by donkey, maybe walking on foot. So the family is gone. Protection is gone. Security is gone. They're not knowing where they're going to stay. There was anxiety. Joseph, she's probably saying, Joseph, what are we doing? What are we doing? There was anxiety, there was worry, there was stress, strain on their relationship. She and Joseph are alone on a road, not really knowing where they're going at night. There was danger on the road, oppressive Romans, unsure, they're uncertain. I mean, how bad can it get? There's no hospitals there. There's no family to help them give birth, and then she gives birth. It would have been painful. Those of you who have given birth, not me, but all the women out there, it's painful. And then there's these Gentile magicians that come, astrologers from the East, and they come and give them gifts. And then there's shepherds that have this vision of angels, these rough, smelly shepherds. And then they come down. And then the governor sends death squads to kill all the Jewish kids. So they fled. Jesus fled to Egypt. He was a refugee, went into exile. This is the historic reality of the first Christmas. It's important to realize this, but there's also the spiritual reality of this Christmas. The historical reality of Christmas reminds us this, that God comes down and reaches out to us in all of our darkness, in all of our depravity, in all of our sin. He comes down and he reaches us. Wow. Look at how he came. The Jewish people, the religious leaders, the scribes, the elders, they didn't recognize him. They thought he was they thought a worldly conqueror will come and save them from the oppression of the Romans. They were looking for vengeance and violence. They were looking for a violent king, a dominating Messiah. They rejected him. But Jesus came into the world in a dark, smelly feeding trough down the back end of a hostel where animals were. That's our Savior. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that such a paradox? And that's our Jesus. That's what he does. He comes into our brokenness, into our darkness, into our sin, into our struggles. He comes into our brokenness and he brings light. And he brings healing, and he brings forgiveness, and he brings grace, and he brings truth. He brings comfort. That's our Jesus. Wow, why? Because that's who God is. That's what God does. He brings light into darkness, into all of the dark places in our life. He brings life, and he brings light. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Wow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, let there be light in the darkness. This light, God has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus. You know, so often we think of God way up there. We think of God as transcendent. He's out there. He's so far above us. He is, you know, the great I am. He's the almighty God. He dwells in the heavens. And yet God came right there in the back end of a Palestinian manger and was born. Wow. And that's what God does. He comes into our darkness. He comes into our mess. And he brings light and hope and truth. And he's still doing that today. Amen. You know, I've been studying a little bit of Eastern Orthodox theology. It's beautiful, beautiful. I've read a few books on it. It's an absolutely beautiful liturgy of Christmas. I love what they call Christmas. This is where this word comes from. They call it the incarnation. God coming in the flesh. God becoming a man. God becoming human. The great self-emptying of God. It's a great revealing. God revealing himself. Revealing himself. The moment that all of history changed. Literally, the world changed on that night. Wow. Jesus, the invisible God, became visible. He became visible. He becomes what he is not while remaining what he is. Isn't that interesting? The creator becomes the created while still remaining the creator. The uncontainable one is contained within the womb of a virgin, which makes her more spacious than the heavens. Wow. Colossians puts it like this in chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in the heavens or on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That's this little baby born in a manger. I don't know if you're getting this, but this is the beautiful theology and the beautiful reality of Christmas. The beautiful reality of Christmas. He's known as Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, God with us in all of our brokenness, in all of our pain, in all of our struggle, in all of our confusion, God with us. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, whatever sort of year you've had, God with you, God with us. He's with us. He promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's the Word become flesh and living among us. Wow. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a limited view of God, a hidden view. But Jesus came to reveal the Father, reveal the Father's love. He came to save us from our sin and the effects of our sin on our lives. He came to heal our sin sickness. That's good news. Good news. That was the arrival. That was the arrival. That's what the angels heralded. Good news. Great news. It's not bad news. We don't go around telling people how bad they are. We already know how bad we are. This is the good news that Jesus came to save us from our falsehood, from our sin. So Christmas is a one-time event that we continually enter into. A time when we celebrate light coming into a dark world. It's one of the foundations of our faith as believers. So how do we enter into this mystery of Christmas? How do we come back to the truth about Christmas? What actually is Christmas? It's summed up in this one sentence. Christmas is the encounter with Jesus. It's the personal encounter with Jesus. It's the encounter that the world has with Jesus. How do we encounter Jesus at Christmas? How do we encounter Jesus at Christmas? I'm glad you asked. Number one, and as I said, it's a time of personal reflection. It's a time of reflection to stop and reflect. I love this. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the heavens. We always, you know, camp at that first part of that scripture. But the whole scripture says, hey, I will be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the heavens. In other words, the advancement of God's kingdom is not about you being busy. It's about you stopping. Being still and knowing that he is God. Encountering Jesus is about having thanksgiving. It's a time to stop in all the busyness of life and to be thankful. It's like this year has finished or it's finishing, but the new year hasn't come yet. So you're in this in-between transitional phase of the year. God is with us. God is with us. You know, it's about reflecting. Christmas is the encounter with Jesus. This statement cuts through all of the extras that attach themselves to Christmas season and goes right to the heart of the reason for this season. The main focus is not food, presents, holidays, families. The main focus is Jesus. Where am I at with Jesus? The question I want to ask you is, where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with Jesus in this season? It's a time to reflect on that question. You know, it's been said that there can be no spiritual growth in our lives without reflection. Without reflection. This year has gifted us much to reflect about. There's been a lot that has happened this year for us as a church, us as individuals, but we must do this sense of reflection with the Holy Spirit. We should invite the Holy Spirit. We must invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what have you taught me this year? What are you doing in my heart this year? How are you going to show me Jesus this year? You know, all other important realities of Christmas get their proper perspective in the light of Jesus and our encounter with him. Jesus comes, he brings light into our darkness. He teaches and demonstrates us the way of love. He brings dignity to us all. As we look to him and his example of love, we can then love others. As we ourselves realize how much we are loved, we can then love others, even our enemies. Christmas is the encounter with Jesus. So how do we encounter Jesus at Christmas? Number two, by being present. By being present. When my kids were small, actually, maybe that's happened a little bit this year as well, but, you know, I'd come home from a busy day and I'd go home and they'd be talking to me and they'd like, Dad, are you here? Are you listening? Are you present? I'm like, oh, okay, my mind's elsewhere. My thoughts are elsewhere. It's so important for us to be present. Be present with each other. Be present with God. Be present with God. Actually, my wife says that as well. She's like, Steve, you're not here. Honey, you're not here. Oh, okay. My mind was elsewhere. So important to be present. So often we worry about the future or we have anxiety about the past. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, do not worry about tomorrow. Well, there's a word for someone. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble for its own. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's not worry about the future. Let's be present. Let's be present to the Holy Spirit. Let's be present to each other. When you're gathering together with your families, with your friends over this Christmas holiday period, let's be present to each other. Let's be present to our unsaved friends and family. Let's listen in and be present. Let's not give ourselves to, what about tomorrow? What about next year? Let's not be anxious about that. Give each other time. Live in the now. You know, it's so important to have deep and meaningful conversations with family and friends in this season. Tell them what they mean to you. Let your light shine in the way that you love them and prefer them. You know, I believe that God wants to have more encounters with you and he wants to use you to have encounters with others. But so often we miss it because we're not here, we're somewhere else. We're not here in this moment. We're not present to each other because we're thinking about something else. So often we live in the past thinking about, oh, what could have been, in regret. What should I have done? What should I have said? We live in the future. What have I got to do next? So we miss out on the present, on being here. listening to people, being present at Christmas with our family and friends. So important. Life happens now, not tomorrow. Life is happening right now. Jesus said, stop worrying about your future because he's in it. He's in our future. You can let that go. Just make sure Jesus is the center. Just make sure you're following the star. You're following the star. Number three, how do you encounter Jesus at Christmas? And of course, by giving and receiving. Of course, by giving of and receiving, but by giving of ourselves in selfless love, in self-emptying love, by giving time. We often think about Christmas as about giving and receiving presents. And yes, it is. Who doesn't love gifts? I don't know, my kids, they love gifts. They used to have, you know, their lists. When they were small, they'd write out a list of Christmas, what they wanted. Now they write out a list and I'm like, they're older now and I'm like, I can't afford that, forget it. You know, but greater than the material and commercial aspects of Christmas is the reality of that God gave himself. He gave himself to us. He was born in a manger. He lived, he died for us. He rose again. He gave himself to us. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's the very nature of God. You know, no one killed Jesus, not the Jews, not the Romans, not even God. Jesus laid down his life in the ultimate act, demonstrating his love. He gave himself. That's the example for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, walk in love as Christ has also loved and gave himself for us. Gave himself for us. We encounter the mystery of Christmas by giving ourselves to others, letting go of our self-rights, our pride, our ego that might want to be right and justify and compare. But we give ourselves, we lay down ourselves for others. We love our enemies. We love that annoying family member. Don't look around. We love them. We receive his love and his grace, and we're able to love others. Here's a profound statement. We can only give away what we have. And the more and more that we encounter Jesus at Christmas, we encounter his hope. I really feel that that right now, God wants to infuse hope into people. This season, yes, it's about gifts and giving and Christmas and everything, but it's about hope. It's about hope. And I really feel that there's people here that have gone through some disappointments this year. Maybe you're living in a bit of a disappointing season, but God wants to infuse hope over you right now. He wants to fill you with hope. He wants to lift up your eyes again and fill you with faith, with peace, and with hope. That's what this season is about. So let's encounter Jesus this Christmas, amen, by a time of reflection, by reflecting, by being present to each other, by giving and receiving, and finally, by following the star. Following the star. You know, here in this scripture that we just read in Matthew chapter 2, these wise men, this group of wise men, they could have been 12, 24. They weren't necessarily kings. Like I said, they were magi, they were astrologers. They came from the east. You know, some say that they were out of the line of Daniel. And they had heard about these prophecies prophecies about this Messiah that was coming. But the question is, what were they seeing? What so captivated their hearts that they decided their whole entourage and bring gifts and frankincense and gold and myrrh? They decided to travel all of this way to try and find this king. What had so captivated their heart? You know, when you encounter Jesus, he captivates your whole life. you can't help but do crazy things. You can't help but follow him. You can't help but give your whole life to him. You can't help but just, I just want to follow the star. I just want to find out where is Jesus? Where is this Messiah? I want to encounter him. I want to be where he is. I mean, that's why we come to church. That's why we come and encounter him. That's why we worship here. That's why we love him so much. It's like we can't just get enough of him. We become so fascinated, so captivated by this man, this God, Jesus. But you know, there's always opposition for you coming and encountering Jesus. There's always opposition. There's distraction, there's busyness, there's stress. There's also demonic opposition for you coming and seeing Jesus. These wise men, they came to Jerusalem, and King Herod, he symbolizes that opposition that was against them. He wanted to find out where Jesus was. He was jealous. He was jealous. But you know what the star represents? Following the star, it represents the Holy Spirit. I believe that right now in this season, there's many people, and you're wanting to know, God, where are you leading me? What are you doing in my heart? What are you doing in my life? There's many people that are questioning, God, what are you leading me into? What are you doing? And my encouragement for you today is to follow the star, is to follow the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, my whole life since I've become a Christian at 19 years old, I follow the Holy Spirit. It's like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you doing? God doesn't give you options. He gives you direction. He always does. The invitation for all of us right now is to follow the star, because it's going to show you Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the great helper. Let's get the worship team up here. The Holy Spirit, he leads us and he guides us. The Holy Spirit is the one who stirs our hearts right now in this season. The Holy Spirit, he leads and he guides us. That still, small voice. His voice is not a reactive voice. It's not an angry voice. It's not a condemning voice. The Holy Spirit is a dove. He's gentle. He's quiet. Why don't we just close our eyes right now? I just really sense the Holy Spirit just across us right now. You know, you can't hear him clearly when you're tired or fatigued or emotional. You've got to spend time with him. You've got to sit with him. Right now, in this season, maybe you need to process some things. You need to slow down, reflect, hear his voice. Maybe you just need to be present to him right now. He is moving right now. He is speaking right now to every single person in this room. Maybe you need to stop and just sit in his presence. Maybe you need to ask him, Holy Spirit, would you show me the star? Would you reveal Jesus to me right now in this season? Would you make this Christmas so different, so fresh? Would you come into my darkness? Would you come into my pain? Would you come into my confusion? Would you come into my life right now? Maybe you just need to follow the star and it will lead you to something better and greater. Only if you're open and humble enough to slow down, listen, become aware of his presence, He'll reveal Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.